Luke chapter 24. Last week, we, of course, talked about the resurrection. Not that we didn't talk about the Easter. We talked about the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And God raised him up from the dead. He couldn't stay dead because he was perfect. He had no sin. He took on all of your sin. He took on all of yours. And he bore it. He took it all and carried it all. And he was crucified and took all the burden and the punishment in his own body. Said he bore it in his own body on the tree. And he died. Well, Jesus, if he's really God, come down off the cross. He could have, because it wasn't necessary for him to die. But he chose to die. Because he loved you. And he wanted to make a way and a provision for you to live with the Father for eternity. He wanted you to not only have this little life here. He didn't want you to just have this little life here. This little life here. I like to give this illustration about eternity. That keeps going, this keeps going, that keeps going, and that keeps going. Just picture this board as just an everlasting board. Okay? Keep that as in your mind, as this board is an everlasting board. It just goes on and on and on. And that's time. That's where we live. Uh-oh, I think I ruined that marker. Don't tell Pastor Jim I messed up his marker. And that's too big. This is where you live. In fact, this is 7,000 years. And this is where you live. And you know, it's not much, is it? But you know what? I'll be gentler. This one, this is where you live now. That's where you used to live. That's where you used to live right there. But this is where you live now already. Amen? How many know you live in heaven? Philippians 3:20. For we live in heaven. We live, it says, our conversation, our manner of living is in heaven. So, our manner of living is in heaven. What's heaven? Heaven is everything that's not here. Heaven is everything that's not this life that we're living in. Amen? So, you live right there in your flesh, in your body, and how long does that last?
3 score and 10.
Yeah, that's a short version. You know, you might make 120. You might make 120 if you eat right and exercise. You know, something like that. But what I wanted to point out to you is now that this isn't much. And Jesus came so that you might be delivered out of this little body into this one. And how many know you've received Jesus, that's where you are. You got to change your mind. Amen? You got to change your thinking. You got to change your mind. You no longer live in that little dot. You're delivered from there. You're out of there. I've been translated. I no longer live just in this body. This body's going to go away, but it's not a problem. Amen? It's not a problem. In fact, in some cases, it'd probably be a good thing. to get rid of this one. You know, but God's got you here for a reason. He's got you here so that you can tell somebody else about the kingdom of heaven. He's got you here so you can tell somebody else about the kingdom of heaven. And it's not a matter of you even talking. Just worship God and you'll change people. Amen? I said, just worship God and you'll change people. This isn't even the sermon. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe because I like to stand up tall on that thing. Now look over here at Luke 24. This is after the resurrection. And the girls had gone to tell the disciples. And in verse 11 it says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales." So the women had gone to see. Now how many when women come telling you a story, that's what you guys think, you know? Yeah. Well, she's got a story to tell. Of course, you guys have got some of the same fish stories, I'm sure. Texas doll tales. In their words, this is Mary Magdalene and Joanna. How many knew there was a Joanna in the Bible? Anybody know that? I thought everybody in the Bible was named Mary. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, this is verse 10, which told these things to the apostles. I'm sorry, Luke 24, verse 10. Verse 11, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then rose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes," he saw them, "laid by themselves, and departing, scratching his head." So he's scratching his head. He said, "What in the world is going on?" Now here's what I want to go with verse 13. Now look at this. "And behold, two of them went that day," same day, that day, same day, day of Jesus was Sunday. Sunday the day Jesus was raised. So these two guys went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs, and a furlong is less than a mile. That's about 60 furlongs. It's like a half a day's journey. And they talked together of all of these things which happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, how many know these guys were disciples of Jesus? They weren't like the named 11, because we find out what the name of one of them was in a minute or two. But we have these two guys who were walking down, not even having known. They'd heard maybe what the women had said, but they went on down to Emmaus. Knew some people down there going to go take a day trip. So they're going down there and they're discussing these things. And wow, and you can imagine the conversation. And wow, I mean, what were we thinking? What were we hoping for? And is anybody like that? You have something that you just don't know why things quite turned out the way they did. There was an expectation. Amen? There was an expectation. Of course, we know that God had a different purpose, and his purposes were for the glory of God. And they began to take shape, and they were taking shape already, yet these two fellows didn't even know, did they? They didn't even understand that these things were, what was taking place and how these things are taking place. And I think that's true of pretty much every day you wake up, isn't it? Or pretty much when circumstances comes up that can concern family members or concern church or concern things that are really outside of your control. Is that you have an idea of what things should have taken place or how things should have happened. You had it in your mind, and it was a big disappointment. Anybody ever had a disappointment in your thinking? A disappointment? Yeah. Some of you haven't, right? No, I don't believe that at all. You know, I have. Because disappointment comes to the soul. Disappointment comes to your soul and your flesh having an expectation usually based on a promise of people. or based on a scenario of events in your own mind. That, well, if this works this way, then this will work, and this should work out, and then everything will be fine. These are hopes that we have. These are hopes that we have. And what does this, all this have to do with living in heaven? Is because you know that God is working all things for your blessing and for your good. Job even said it. He said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. And that's back in the 23rd chapter of Job. I know, say it, I know.
No.
When I am tried, that means cooked real good, I will come forth as gold. Isn't that powerful for Job to say that? Of course, he didn't know how much more cooking was left. There's some more cooking to do. But I know. When I am tried, I'll come forth as gold. That's a promise. That's a promise that was deep in Job's heart because he knew. He at that time, did not even declare like he did in 42, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee with the seeing of the eye. Early in his walk, early in his struggle, in his flesh, he declares these words. And of course, I guess, you know, you might think, well, yeah, early on, yeah, I did that too. Early on, I said all the promises, but just things kept going down. And just like when Jesus was killed, boy, things were getting rough. And all of a sudden, you know, well, maybe he'll pull it out. Maybe even in the garden. Like, you know, I'm really kind of got an idea that Judas was just hoping that he was pushing Jesus' hand, forcing his hand. Okay, now when he's going to get arrested, then he's going to take over then. Because these guys were out for a Savior. These guys were out for a real out front leader to take over. And they knew that Jesus had the power of God. And they were ready for somebody to take over. And these Simon the Zealot and Judas were of that. They were Zionists. They would get these Romans out of here. They were ready. And in fact, boy, all hope was there. You know, when Jesus said, I am He, what happened? Anybody remember? They fell backward, slain in the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. He said it, I am. Oh, I'm sorry, I am He. Didn't mean to throw all of that at you guys at once. It's kind of like, I just was saying, I am He. You know, I am Jesus of Nazareth. But all of a sudden, it's kind of like He let a little bit out of the bag, all right? And so, I mean, the power of God, it's kind of like, you know, and all these guys fell backward to the ground. But did Jesus take them and wrap them up and say, boys, wrap them up? No, He didn't. He just let them get back up. Then and He says again, whom seek ye? Jesus said, put your hat back on, comb your hair. Look good. See, these are good soldiers, you know. So all of a sudden they're on the ground. And Jesus said, now who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I told you before, I'm He. He kind of notched it back. You know, they didn't fall down this time. Okay, boys, take him away. And then all of a sudden, Judas and Simon are like, what happened? Because Jesus wasn't going to take the kingdom. What He was going to do is take the kingdom. He wasn't going to take that kingdom. What He was going to do is take Mara's kingdom. Amen? He's going to take David's kingdom. He's going to take Larry's kingdom. That's the kingdom that Jesus wanted to take down. That's the kingdom that He's taking down. That was His interest. That's why He died. That's why He took your sin. See, people think they just need freedom. What they need is love. Amen? Love is my freedom. That you don't need freedom, you need love. You need to be loved. Amen? And God is loving you. Say it. He loves me. Whew. Oh, He loves me. All right, let's get back to this. Preaching's too easy. Amen? Hallelujah. And they talked of all of these things that happened. See, they're talking in their minds. These guys, these two guys, they're talking in their minds about all the things that are happening. So they're relating their flesh. You ever done that? You go to talk to somebody about your problem? They're relating your flesh. And then all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Wait a minute, who? Now Jesus could have seen anybody. He could have seen anybody, but he walks up to these two guys who are on a journey, on a little road trip to Emmaus. How many know Jesus will come and visit you on your little road trip? Well, we're all disappointed. Let's take a road trip. Anybody ever done that? You know, let's get out of town. I'm serious. Anybody done that? Things ain't going good. Let's just get out of town. I mean, just not run away, just get away. You know, things are, you know, clear my head. Find out what's happening. But Jesus showed up on this little road trip. You know, when you do try to run away, Jesus will show up. When you try to get away to clear your mind, Jesus just might show up. He just might show up. And let's find out how this little journey went. He's like a hitchhiker. Hey, there's a guy. He looks pretty clean. He's got a white robe on. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoning, psychologizing, trying to think of all the ups and downs and ins and outs of why this happened, Jesus drew near himself and went with them. But their eyes were prevented, were covered. Their eyes were, how did Jesus do that? Their eyes were prevented from knowing it was him. And he said to them, What is this you guys are talking about that you have said to one another as you walk and are sad? I noticed that you guys are kind of low. And you're sad. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, who? That must have been the 13th disciple. Cleopas. Remember, Matthias was picked to later to take the place of, maybe he was a candidate. You know, maybe Cleopas was a candidate. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, said, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have come to pass here in these days?" And apparently this was all over town. It wasn't just like a political thing down at the courthouse. So this was all over. Do you not know? I mean, it's been all over the papers. It's been all over the local news. You know, this Jesus of Nazareth. And he said to them, "What things?" Trying to get him to come out. Okay, tell me what you know. I want to hear your side of the story. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what you thought about all this. What was in your mind? Okay? What was in your mind about what should have happened? What Jesus is doing in you? Why Jesus was here. And he said, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." We trusted that he was going to take Jerusalem by storm. Now he's dead. They killed him. It's all over. Everything we gave our lives for 3 years, hoping, praying for the best. Huh? Hoping, praying for the best. We had trusted it had been him that should have redeemed my situation. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company also made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, And then when they found his body, his body's gone. We didn't take it. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, certain of our group, and they found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, O fools, whoa, this is a stranger. It's just a guy who shows up. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Man, it's kind of rough on him. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went back into the scriptures. He went back into the scriptures. For everything, go back to the scriptures. Doesn't matter what you're going through in that little bitty life right there. Number one, know that this life doesn't last long. And you know that. I'll be 54 here in a month or two. And you know, I'm closer to 70 than I am to 20. So, I know that's coming. How many know that's coming? How many know everybody? Yeah, there's a place called Greenwood out here. It's all your relatives are out there. You know, there's a place up in Grapevine called Parker Cemetery. I like it. It doesn't look perpetual care. I think a guy mows it once in a while. It's got a lot of big oak trees in it. A friend of ours, she was 35, was buried there the other day. She's with Jesus, but her body's in that cemetery. But look. You know, how many know your body's going to end up somewhere in a cemetery? I know I'm depressing everybody. I'm serious. I mean, how many of your great-great-grandmothers still around? How many of your great-grandmothers still around? If you're under 10. I mean, under 12. Huh? How many? They're gone. Where'd they go? Well, they went to heaven. Hopefully. Hopefully knew Jesus. Hopefully they moved out of this body. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody say that. 1 Corinthians 15. Go read that. It'll tell you all about it. Tell you all about what happens to your body. That's a good one. You'll like that one. Sadie, go read that. And you can tell your dad and mom all about it. Tell them what's coming. So they'll be prepared. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So what you're doing is you're reading the scriptures. And you're allowing the scriptures to rule your thinking. Amen. So what I'm saying is, okay, so your body's going away. It's not going to last long. Every one of you is going to go the way of all flesh, go to dust. Your body's going to go to dust in 70 to 120 years. All right? So what happens after that? The rest of that board. Whether you know Jesus or not, you're going to be somewhere. You better be in the presence of God, I'd recommend. And all you do is just say, Jesus, thank you for taking all of my sin. Thank you for taking everything that separated me from you. And thank you, I believe that Jesus did it just for me. I might not even like Jesus. I didn't even like carpentry. I don't really even like hanging out with a carpenter, maybe, but I sure do thank you for doing that for me. Right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Maybe carpenters just aren't your thing. They'd drive you crazy, you know? Something. I'm just saying, you don't have to personally like the idea that Jesus was a carpenter. Maybe you'd rather him have been an accountant. Maybe you'd rather Jesus have been an artist. I guess a carpenter could be an artist, though. You know, like a sculptor. Just believe that God Himself loved you enough to give you, to help you get out of that. And that's what Jesus was doing in the garden. He did say, that was a little thing. To take over right then is nothing. But to take over you and to give you life eternal, that's something. He wasn't intended to give a political victory. There are people who want a political victory now. You don't need a political victory. You need a victory in your heart and in your mind. You need a victory in your mind. I need a victory in my mind. Every day I need a victory in my mind. These guys right here, what? Needed a victory in their mind. Let their heart overtake their mind. You need to let your heart overtake your mind. Because your mind doesn't know anything. Jesus said in the garden, God said in the garden, said, don't eat of that tree. That tree looks helpful, but it's not. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't know how to, you don't even know what to do with that. Even if you had the knowledge of good and evil, you wouldn't know what to do with it. Just listen to me. And you find that out, don't you? You find out that finding out whether good and evil is good or evil is really not all it's cracked up to be. Because you don't have the capacity physically, mentally, to handle it. You don't have the capacity to handle these things in only 70 years and enjoy blessing and fruitful life. God says, trust me. He's telling these guys right here. They reasoned together. Remember how they were reasoning together? Stop reasoning. And then what did he do? He took them back to the Scriptures. He took them back to the history of God and His people. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Himself. How many of you know all the Scriptures about Jesus are about Himself? Huh? All the Scripture, what they called the Scriptures, which is the Old Testament. It was all about Jesus doing this. It was all about taking you out of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so, verse 28, they drew near to the village where they went. Made as though they would gone, had gone. He made as though he would have gone further. Well, just I'm going. You know, so you guys stopping off at your place? And he's got made as if he, I just think this is humorous. He made as if he would have gone further. He was like pretending. But they constrained him, saying, stay with us, for it's evening, and the day is far spent. You don't want to be traveling at night. You know, around here, you know, it's okay. You get in your car, and you're going too fast for anybody to stop you. I was thinking about that last night. We were downtown Dallas to Eric. Eric, who some of y'all know, had a birthday party with some of our old friends. And Janet and I were walking in the place, and it turns out it was pretty well lit after dark down that part of the town. But, you know, when you're walking kind of up the side of a building that, you know, has no entrance, and it's kind of a long block, and you're kind of like, well, I wonder what this is going to be like at night, at dark, you know. Yeah, because when you're walking, people can catch up to you. And that's what most of these people did. They walked everywhere they went. So at night, you want to stay put. You know, you didn't want to be traveling at night. So, hey, no, you know, it's evening. You don't want to be out there. We don't want to be, you know, you've helped us and been a blessing to us. So stay with us. Don't take the risk. I mean, if you're driving a car like we do, you know, it's not as dangerous to travel at night just because, you know, you're outrunning everybody. So they asked him to stay with them, abide with us. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, sat at meal. Watch this. Jesus is funny. He made as if he would have gone further. And then he waited till this point in the meal. And he took the bread. And he blessed it. And he broke it. Oh my goodness. And he gave it to them. And what happened? And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And 1 Corinthians 15. He vanished out of their sight. He was in a different kind of body. He didn't run out the door. He vanished. He vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us on the road, and while he opened to us the scriptures, something about what this guy's saying. Something about what he's saying. They both knew it, but they never said it. But they knew it. Something. Something. Something about what he's saying. While he what? Opened to us the scriptures. And here it is, dark, after dinner. And they rose up at the same hour. Thieves or no, and returned to Jerusalem. Middle of the night, or late into the evening. And it was a good little trip. And they headed back down to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered, and them that were with them. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And then they told the things which were done in the way. So the disciples told them, hey, the Lord is risen indeed. And he's appeared to Simon. Well, he was just down here with us. He was just down at Emmaus. And they told the things that were done in the way. And how that he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself, here's that 1 Corinthians 15 again. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Well, wait a minute. The guy disappeared down at Emmaus, and all of a sudden he pops in again up here in Jerusalem. What up? Y'all need to read that. It talks about a mortal body and an immortal body. It's a new body. I'm going to make y'all read it. I'm not going to read it. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be to you. But they were terrified and affrighted. So, oh! And supposed that they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Oh, don't you love that? Who's got that open? Right there, that scripture. That one right there. Who's got it? Mara, can you read loud? Read it real loud. That, why are you troubled? 38. Just read 38. Listen to that. You want to read that 39, you go ahead. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? What does he instruct you to do the very next verse? Look. Behold. My hands and my feet. And see. Behold and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So see, that's where your problem lies, isn't it? Is, why are you troubled? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, John 14. Believe also in me. In my Father's house have many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Because you're just used to this world and you don't know how things work. Amen? You don't know how things are going to work out. Zach, you just don't know. Jesus does. So you ask Him. Why are you troubled? Thoughts arise in your hearts. You could weep on that, couldn't you? Listen to me. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts, Dave? Behold my hands and my feet. See, it's me. A spirit. A phantom. An illusion. Doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. He is risen. He is risen physically. There were many Gnostic religions that came up after all the disciples, or even while the disciples were out and about, that Jesus was, it's just, Jesus never was here. He was just a phantom. Or there was a Jesus in body that was a man, but a Jesus in spirit that died. All kinds of things that are not in the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament Scriptures. The Lamb of God. A governor that will rule. And when He had thus spoken, Jesus had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. Still got the marks in them. Still got the nail prints in them. And while they yet believed not for joy, and let me read that again. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said to them, "Have you any meat?" And he's going, "We're not sure about this anyway. Have you any meat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And He took it. And He ate it. He ate it before Him. Of course, He'd eaten down the other place. Well, maybe He just broke the bread. I don't know. In verse 44, He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." See? This is what I talked to you guys down there on the road about, because those guys were there. He said, "Remember, this is what I told you guys about. Well, I was yet with you that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms." And in the Psalms. So He tells you specifically, not just, He didn't just say the Scriptures. He said from Moses and the Scriptures. But then He also talked about were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. He's identifying, and how many of them do you know? I mean, even during, when we're doing the Passover, we're reading the Psalms. Psalm 113 to 118. Reading the Hallel. Those things were concerning me. Then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You can do that? And He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of those things, of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Let's look over at Acts chapter 1. So He says right there, He said, don't go anywhere. Hang out. Stay in the city of Jerusalem. And of course, you know, you have John here. I won't go into that story today, but you know, John relates that at another time, they meet him out in the sea of, at the Sea of Tiberias. And the guys are out. Peter says, "But I'm going back to fishing." So they're out in the boat. Jesus shows up on the shore. He's got a little fire made, making some fish. "Hey, you guys, what you doing out there? Fishing. Throw the net out on the right side." Sounds familiar. I think he told him that one time before. Then they had a great draft of fish. Peter put his clothes back on, dragged them in. Jesus had fish on the thing. Asked him, said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. That's why you're here. You're here to feed the lambs. You're here to feed the sheep. That's why you're here. That's why you're staying there. That's why you're still in that little body that you got right there. To declare the word. Just like Jesus declared the scriptures and the word to them, you would declare it to somebody else." Acts chapter 1. The former treatise, the former document, which was what? What was the former document this guy's talking about? The book of Luke. Got one of those right here. Got a Luke down front, just for illustration purposes. Brought my own illustration. The former treatise, so therefore there's a former and a latter treatise. So this is the latter treatise. This is the first one he wrote, part one, and part two. This is part two. "The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commands to the apostles whom he had chosen," which we just read. "Stay in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere until you get endued with power. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. 40 days. Between Passover and Pentecost is 50 days. He was seen of them 40 days, but then when he went up, now let's read this part. "Being seen of them 40 days, Pentecost, 50 days. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem." We just read that. "But wait for the promise of the Father." You remember? Okay, go back and read John. We did this in house church the other day. We read John 13 through 20. It's good to go read that entire dialogue. You can read it faster than the 5 years that it takes Pastor Jim to teach it in a Bible study, Joyce. Whether you get one through one verse or not at a time. So, the Zach, you'll like this. So he tells him, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus. That's what he told them. Say, don't go. Stay there. Stay here. Stay in town. Stay in Fort Worth. Don't leave. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me." Like I said, during that period of John 13 through 17, he discussed with them the fact that things is going to change. I'm not going to be here any longer. And they just kind of went right past that. You know, they, yeah. We're waiting for the big event, you know, where Jesus takes over, you know. It didn't happen that way. And so you read all that and says, it's like I told you. "That you will be baptized, for truly John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from here." Now that first night he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know what? I believe they did. They received the Holy Ghost as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. They were born again, born of the Spirit that night, the night of Jesus' resurrection. They were born of the Spirit that evening in the upper room. He breathed on them. As for the tape, people. Oh, I'm old. I still talk about tapes. As for the MP3 people. All right? So he breathed on them. But then he said, don't go anywhere. He said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. He said, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Rivers! You know, there's a difference. How many knows there's a difference between a fountain springing up? Squirt, squirt, squirt. A fountain springing up and a river like roaring. A river flowing out of the innermost parts of the belly. In other words, one's for you, the rest is for everybody else. So the reason for getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is that it's necessary. Over in Acts chapter 19, he says, he found certain disciples. He says, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, we hadn't heard whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. So when they heard that, they laid their hands on them. And they began to speak with other tongues. And the Holy Ghost, and they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Back here to Acts chapter 1. So when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? So even then, they're still asking. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all and in Samaria. It's where nobody likes to go, Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. This was after the 40 days. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld. While they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, keep watching, there he goes. Behold, two men in white apparel stood by, which also said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Father, we just thank you today that though our thoughts be troubled, you instructed us to go back to the Scriptures and to behold what you have expounded to us from the very beginning. That Jesus Christ, it was necessary for him to suffer and take upon himself the sins of the world that we might be and gain access to the kingdom of heaven, where those who of us who have believed are seated together with him at the right hand of the Father even now. Yet we dwell in these bodies. Father, let us come to you by the Scripture, by fervent prayer, and by discussing these things with one another and encouraging and building up one another, that heaven lives on the inside of me, and that all of those things which I don't understand, all those things which from day to day come and go, I rejoice. I let not my heart be troubled, because I believe in God, and I also believe that Jesus has shown a better way to rejoice and to walk in joy and peace. Love is my freedom. I can ask anything of my Father the King. I'm a son of God. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for causing everyone today to rest in the fact that though you don't even know why things are working out the way they are, why things appear to be out of kilter, that he is working all things for your blessing and for your good, and that you dwell, if you believed in Christ Jesus, you dwell in heaven right now. Thank you that your bodies are quickened, made alive by the Spirit that dwells in you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I lie down and rest. The work no longer.